Let's roll. Episode 6 of the Suliedot Ovet podcast. Today I have Marko Suomi, who's probably the first Finn I met a long time ago, but it wasn't in Finland. It was in Latvia or...
Was it in Latvia? I think it was Latvia 2009, if I don't remember.
Yes. Correct. And, you know, what is a Finn? What do they eat? What do they look like? What do they like? I mean, it was just me, a little Frenchie going there. And then you had a good team over there already, I think, for the competition. That was pretty awesome. And then I know Marko as well through social media. He welcomed me here as well in Finland when we arrived a few years ago. And he's crazy about books. Is that correct?
Yeah? Yes, I guess.
So I want him to do on a podcast to explain why that obsession with books. And he's the kind of person who would put you to shame for not reading, because he reads a lot. And it's pretty eclectic as well. You read everything.
I would dream of reading everything from every country. Or not everything, but, you know, one book at least from each country per different kind of people. That would be ideal, but it's very difficult.
yeah. Introduce yourself, first of all. Marko Suomi from Suomi.
Yeah. My name is Marko Suomi. I live in Finland. we met in Ventspils, Latvia, right?
Ventspils,
2009, there was a tournament, international tournament of kettlebell lifting. and in Finland, that sport was very young at then. But I think we knew each other before that, through social media or something, that was like, I knew to expect you to come there.
Probably because, I think I was living in, or just before that, I was in London at the time, in the UK.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think I got from there to Ventspils, so something like
something
this.
Something like this. But anyway, we've been practicing kettlebell lifting, and there I've been gathering a lot of people to come as a team to the competition. I think we had like over 10 people. At that point, and it sounds small, but it's like
that's huge.
If you think about kettlebell lifting at that point in time in Finland, there was nobody doing it, so just a few people. And then the craziest went with me to there, and then we had a nice time. I remember the competition, and then we went to the Mexican bar, and then there were some details that maybe we forgot.
they would stay over there,
But Ventspils, Latvia, it's a great place. And Latvia is very dear because the kettlebell stuff started for me in Latvia in 2006. So that was like a crazy time. I used to do kettlebell lifting for still like 2012. Then I had this serious injury or sickness in my neck.
That's something I want to address as
well.
Yeah,
we can go that. Yeah. And then there was like a kind of break.
Okay.
For a while, there was 1 year that I was afraid of training really hard, but I could do still that stuff. Then I got back to it, did a couple of competitions again. Then I got tired of it, started doing judo, and now I'm back again with the kettlebell lifting in a way, on one way. So yeah, and also I do like, I have a podcast also. It's called Takakansi. It's like back cover. It's a book podcast. And then I do some IT work in my daily work. And then we have with my wife, we have this cafe, Arkikulta, which is like this culture cafe, which sells great waffles.
It's an amazing. I haven't been there, to be honest, but it's an amazing concept. It's Hyvinkää. Just go. I want to go. I will go. There's no other way.
Please.
Because it's one of these things where you mix culture with, well, it's Finland, so around coffee and then some waffles as well.
Yes, and Brussels style big waffles with like salty and sweet, different kind of toppings.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very, very, very good concept. And then, the place looks amazing as well. Very...
it's 100 years old.
Picturesque. Look at that. Yeah, 100 years old. That's just amazing. I really, really want to go.
Yeah.
I really want to go.
Yeah, but that's like, I think that's... Yeah, so we met through sport.
Yeah.
So sport is important for me, like movement and stuff like that. And also what you do like in work, it's interesting. You do like this physical healing of people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting how people move and stuff like that. And also the literature part is interesting. So I guess, So I'm interested in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a Muay Thai fighter as well?
Yeah, I used to do that, yes.
For a long time?
There was like 2 year period where I was fighting like a lot.
Wow.
I did.
Competing.
Yeah. Competing.
No, that's but that's good. Yeah.
I did like 20 competitions.
Wow.
And that then a lot of things happened and I stopped that.
Okay. Life.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. That was life. Yeah. And then, I guess. And then after that, I kind of got into the kettlebell competition because I loved the competition because it kind of, it's totally different from the daily life.
Yes, of
the
course.
Adrenaline and the excitement and if you lose or win or what happens then, it's interesting.
What led you then to kettlebell lifting? Was it part of your training as when you were doing Muay Thai at all? Or was, how did you discover
kettlebells? Yeah, it was by accident.
Okay.
It was something like I kind of had stopped doing the fights, the Muay Thai like competition, and because my daughter was born, and there was 1 year that I still did the competitions, but I felt that I want to be at home more, like with the girl, and I wanted to look for something I could do at home, you know, some exercise, because I really don't like the traditional gyms.
Yeah, going to the
and I wanted to stay at home more. Mm. So what would I do? Then I was just browsing the internet.
Okay.
You know, 2005. This was then there was this thing called kettlebell.
Okay.
There was a Finnish forum, and then there was the Dragon Door forum.
I was going to ask you, Monsieur Pavel.
Yeah, Pavel
Tsatsulin.
So then I kind of downloaded Pavel's first book illegally from some sites. It was a PDF.
Okay.
And then. And I read it, and it was funny because it was like this Russian traditional kind of making fun of the stuff.
Lift kettlebell.
But then there was this practical thing, so I stuffed a backpack with some weights.
Okay.
And then tried to spin.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, hey, this could work maybe.
Yeah.
And then I ordered this one kettlebell from the Finnish Finnish website that sold those.
So they had some already at the time.
Yeah, there were some. Okay. Because otherwise, how could I get?
Was that you said 2005?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Then I ordered one that was like 17 kilos.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, usually it's about 16 kilos for like a regular kettlebell.
Yeah.
And it goes like either 8 kilos or 32 or even 24s.
Yeah.
Okay, 17. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that. But I started. More. I did the swings. I did the stuff with the pebble.
Okay. Okay.
And only after. A bit later, I learned that there was actually a competitive sport.
Okay.
Because it's funny because this sport was like very old, but the kind of the commercial kettlebell stuff was only about fitness and you know how to pump your muscles and whatnot. And
then looking good.
Yeah, but then I got interested in the kettlebell competition style.
Okay.
And then a lot of things led to another things, but and I in 1 year I was training for this. World Championships in Latvia in 2006, and I went with the American team because those were the guys that I discussed in the forums.
Okay,
and they were saying that they are going to US to Latvia. There is a competition, and I was like, "Wow, that would be interesting."
Mm-hmm.
So I started messaging one of those people, and then they were like, "Okay, why don't you come with us? Like, we can introduce you." And I was like, "This sounds so crazy."
Wow.
And I then. So and that's led to what happened in Ventspils also.
Okay, yeah.
In kind of many,
Okay. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, but totally by accident.
Okay. And then you had that incident that happened, because I remember when we reconnected, when I moved here, we talked a bit about that kettlebell and et cetera, and then you mentioned that, what would you call it, injury incident? It was pretty scary, I would think. The way you describe it to me was like, oh, wow, okay, that's pretty
serious.
Yeah, it's
the one happened myself. Yeah, it was, it's called... What is in it's something that happens in your, what is the big vein that goes?
It's are you making it in the spinal cord?
Yeah, no, it's a blood
the
artery.
Yeah.
So the one artery of my neck was damaged from the inside.
Oh.
So there is a word for it. I don't remember the.
Okay.
But it's something that happens to semi-young men.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was after or during a sport event.
Oh, okay.
But it could happen if you do any form of, you know, like...
Like training, heavy training.
Yeah, or maybe just running or something.
Is that something genetics at all?
Well, I don't really know.
Okay. Yeah.
But then it was like... So that caused the blood to not flow.
Flow, okay.
And then it caused a small, very small damage in the, like, the big eye, but small brain.
Yes.
But... I just noticed it because I do what I have after this competition. There was like a Finnish competition, Finnish championship in middle of Finland. And after the competition, I just noticed, okay, my neck is kind of sore. But it's normal because I did long cycle with 32 kilos. So yeah, that's it's normal to have like sore. But in the bus, I was like feeling very dizzy and I got like vomiting in the bathroom that we went to the, some kind of gas station. But I was told, okay, this is migraine, I don't care. So we went home, and then during that next week, I traveled with work, I was in the Prague and all that stuff, I didn't care about it, I just thought, okay, I have a bit like pains. But then there was this one day that I was taking my kids to like some kind of hobby with the car. And then I was in the car, I was thinking like, where am I? I don't remember how I got here. So then I was just stopped and got my wife and said, okay, see, this is like very not good.
That's more than just a migraine.
Yeah, and then she was like, okay, I have to go to the hospital. Then I went there and then they took some tests and then they said, okay, you have to stay here.
So, okay.
But the, it was just a small, luckily. So it could have been like, if it was worse, it could have been like something like paralyzed or then even dying. Some like people even some do that.
Aneurysm where it blocks the whole
Yeah, because it blocks the flow. But it, it's just blocked a little. And then they gave me some kind of thing that helps the blood
thinner.
Yes, blood thinner, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I was there for a week just to check out.
Okay.
But I was very lucky because I don't have any like
any after like side effect of any kind.
No, just mental. Or, like it was mentally very.
Of
tough,
course,
but I didn't have any physical or like what should you say, like intellectual damage.
Yes, like impairment of any kind where you know you lose your I don't know capacity of some people is taste, some people is sight,
it was
some
so
people
easy. But still, it was scary because the little brain is. The one that controls the movement, and the movement is very important for me because of the sports and stuff like that. So I was like, I remember looking at myself in the hospital mirror and thinking, "Can I like, can I move? Can I still do some exercise?" And that was like
scary.
Yes. Yeah. And after that, I got like 6 months. I had to go to check the blood all the time, and I ate this blood thinner medicine like old people do. And then, but then. After the 6 months, they did some checks and find that it has healed itself.
Wow.
So that's how they do it. They didn't have any operations.
Okay, so just a blood thinner, some kind of rest or like really
you
slow
have
down
to,
on the training.
They, for a month, I had to like get off from work and just rest. But then there was no restrictions at all. So but
pretty
that was
scary times,
And it's like I think it somehow a bit changed maybe the attitude towards the sports and competitions. So I didn't.
Are you more careful nowadays?
Yeah,
I don't. Like from that day, actually.
Yeah, I don't want to do like 100%. I do only 80% or 60%.
Is that what you were told as well by the doctors?
No.
Okay, but it's just for your own safety.
Yeah, because then I think about like what is worth doing the 100%.
Yeah.
And not everything is worth doing 100%.
I agree. 100%, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. That's quite a story. Do you get checked again?
No.
Like every, you know, it's all good?
It was just, well, this happens and that's it.
That happens.
Okay. And it could happen to anybody.
Yeah. So,
But it's quite rare still. I know only one people that in my Facebook friends that have it.
Oh, right. Okay.
But she had it worse.
She stayed longer in hospital.
Yeah,
and stuff.
And I think it was a different pain. So it caused some other problems.
Yes.
And then there was other things. But she's still okay. But but it's scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. Get checked, people. Get checked.
Yeah.
Is that then when that quote that you gave me, I always ask for a quote from guest. Is that where that quote actually made sense to you, or is that something you always have it? The quote that Marco gave me is from Monsieur Henry Rollins from the Rollins Band at the time. The song is Shine. Yeah, the album is from Weight, and the quote is: "No such thing as spare time, no such thing as free time, no such thing as downtime. All you got is lifetime. Go." And I remember, following you on social media, I know you've used that quote quite a lot.
Yes.
Is that something that, again, same thing, I agree with you. I think time is a currency that, I don't know, we can't really play with it. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, there's many things we can do about it, but it's just always on us.
Yeah.
It's always, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, you can't. It's no. just gone. That's it. Gone. 1 minute. Gone. Another one. Yeah, what yeah, are you going to do about it?
All this, like this, even if we meet here with you now, and this is like a very unique moment, and we don't really know that if we can meet again. So that is like crazy. Yes. That is, it's lucky that we can do this, but it's still like, sometimes I don't, everything, I don't think like that all the time, because, but sometimes it just occurs. Oh, okay. This is very unique. Or like we met in Ventspils, it was like crazy things happened for a lot of people that it was even possible to go. And then we like meet there during this summer, very eccentric sport.
Yeah, it was.
So it's like, it's totally, you know, it's unique stuff.
It is. Yeah.
And it's never happening again in the same way.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I understand what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, but very, very true.
But this got, it was a lot earlier for me, very important, because in 2006, my wife had very, very serious sickness.
Okay.
She had this aneurysm in the brain.
Okay.
So
okay.
we both have like brain stuff.
Okay.
But it's dark humor.
They're good
but,
now. They're good now.
But she had like way worse.
Okay.
She had like half of the body was paralyzed.
Paralyzed. Okay.
And then and our kids were very small. Like son, my son was like 4 months old, and this happened to her when she was breastfeeding.
Okay.
Her. And I wasn't home.
Wow.
And
so it just happened to her, as in
I was training Muay Thai at the gym. Okay. It was evening, and I come home and I found them.
Wow.
It's and my son was under her.
Wow.
So that was like very. It could have happened that he had died.
Yeah,
and I thought that if something happened, because he was like this, like nothing happening.
Okay.
But it later it turned out that she was just tired of shouting. But it was very scary. And after that, there was like, I don't know, she had to be in the intensive care because it was like almost dying.
Wow.
And a couple of weeks there, and then she got better. And of course, luckily, and my son was like, well, at next day, there's nothing, but still, that it was very scary for me. And then after, but crazy thing about this is that it relates to our meeting, because during the same year there was this the competition in Latvia.
Okay, yes.
And the plan for my plan to go there started before my wife's illness. And of course, when that happened, I was like, okay, forgetting it, even not even thinking about it, because this whole thing has changed our lives totally.
I bet.
And then, but then things started happening in the summer, went on, she got home, like after a couple of months in the hospital, she learned to walk again, all that stuff, so it was crazy. And then we had this maybe 1 year that was for the family, for us, like we have to do keep doing stuff that we wanted to do, like very hard, like, like with crazy energy. So, then I, like in the maybe September or something, we just talked about stuff, what we want to do. And then I said that, okay, I have to forget about this kettlebell and stuff.
Okay.
But then she said, no, you have to go there.
Good.
And then, but then we went all together in 2006 in the trip. And it was just last week we were booking a trip to Riga for our family again, because we went there together in 2006 and now we want to go again. So it's like, but there was this like crazy energy to do stuff that we in the normal situation, like now if I think about it, I have a serious illness, I'm not gonna go to some crazy but then but it's totally different mindset there.
Yes.
So it was kind of a proof to us that we can still live and we can still function as a family or something like that. I don't know what it was.
So you think maybe if that wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't have that kind of mindset or that will to do this?
Yeah,
think,
most likely it would have been like okay,
that crazy energy that you mentioned.
Yeah. And then, of course, that is also, I think later if I think about it, that's like that kettlebell stuff. At that point, became also a way to kind of keep myself sane.
Yes.
Because it was so scary at home.
Yes.
Because I don't know what's going to happen to her, how our kids are going to do it, how we are going to survive, all that stuff. Do we have to move somewhere? In the beginning, it wasn't even sure that if she can even live at home at all.
And,
but now she's back to work life and very lucky in some sense that she hasn't like... Yeah, but because a lot of those people who get to an aneurysm, they're going to just die or be paralyzed for the whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but still, so that led to me maybe taking the kettlebell stuff very seriously
and
with some maybe we have discussed it mm-hmm. before, you would notice mm-hmm. that attitude, but now it's been so long, so maybe I kind of it's back now to the normal maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for that craziness or whatever you call it, mm-hmm. then a lot of things would haven't happened.
Yeah, I bet.
So I don't know. It's just a funny coincidence.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Pretty serious one.
Yes. Wow. Maybe funny is the wrong word, but it's still like.
No. I understand. Yeah. It's pretty. Wow.
But this is has affected how I think about time.
Yeah.
A lot. But it's not like. In a daily life, of course, I waste a lot of time and I don't appreciate every moment and all that mm-hmm, stuff mm-hmm. because I'm not
we human.
Yeah, yeah, but still, sometimes I remember. Okay, this is very unique.
Because I remember reading one of the posts on Facebook from someone else, and you commented about the fact that you have the mentality of the warrior or survivor, rather.
Yeah.
So it's really, the comment was entirely up to you because that's the way you see things. I can't remember. I think it was from Yoni. And then I can't remember what it was about, but you mentioned something like, yeah, I've got that survivor kind of mentality, which I think I can understand if you're coming from that, tragedy, if I can say, between your wife and you and, you know, with two young kids and you come home with your wife lying down like this, what the hell is going to happen?
Yeah.
I know we've had a few losses here, unfortunately, at the gym. I know one guy, he died as well, like this. He had, I think it was aneurysm or something, just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, not from the gym, but someone that I met once moving another guy. And then it just like hit me because he was like a year younger than me.
Yeah, exactly.
And a big rugby player. Like you wouldn't think, you know.
No.
And he just like person. That during the night, boom, and then the next day, and then, step down. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
It just like,
Yeah.
So I guess, that's why for me, for me, it's the same. Sometimes, I waste time and then I'm like, you stupid piece of human being.
Well, but I guess that's like...
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, but, it is. And I think, I remember thinking about during the time that I was, like my wife was in the intensive care and there are all these sayings that you have to live each moment like it's your last and all that stuff. And then I felt like, okay, this is how it feels to live the life like that. And it's very hard. And then I thought about it, next time when I like be angry about some like bus schedules, things are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Things are so okay that I can be angry about that if this train to this Pitäjämäki is not on time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's a different kind
of... Oh, cool. I think it's very personal as well. You know, it's very individual. Mm. And who cares if you want to be, you know. It's just, I think for me, it's more the people about complaining and then don't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't do anything today or, I couldn't do my stuff. And then you just look at their Facebook page or Instagram page and they've been on it all day, you know? Complain, you know, that's it. But, you can hang around and do what you want. It's just don't complain about it if you don't get anything done. But I think, it's like a big, big boost to your buttocks if something like this happens to you where, okay, it's real. Like we can die. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it as well with the coronavirus stuff that's been happening. And I mean, I've read a lot on. So we talked about it before we started recording as well. Like I've read a lot on social media. Oh, if you don't get out of this coronavirus stuff with a diploma and whatever, or you know, if you haven't learned a new skill, who are you? I do what I want, you know. I get a new skill if I want to. I don't need the coronavirus to tell me, you know, okay, you know. It's like, you know, well, you have two kids. I've got one. Well, I need to teach him school. Yeah. I still have to work. You still have to work, you know. Good thing here in Finland, you can work from home if you're in IT and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So as you said exactly before, you know, it hasn't changed that much for you, apart from obviously the social contact and the fact that it was very stressful for everyone.
Yes.
Because it was just everyone was affected.
Yes, that was first time ever like for in my life that I knew that how some people in other countries maybe feel like because they have similar situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to move to the books.
Okay.
Because you are, I think, very well known in the community for reading books. I mean, I don't even check your, is it Goodreads?
Goodreads.
Yeah, I don't even check that anymore. Goodreads.com, you know, to see, because I'm like, I read half a book in 6 months. And then you probably read half a book in 6 seconds. So why the books? We met, I think, maybe a year after I moved here. And then you were telling me about something like this. You said, yeah, I want to do something with books, but I don't know what. At that time, I didn't know. I remember that. We were meeting in that Italian place on Boulevardi.
Yeah.
And you told me, yeah, there's something I wanna dig into books, but I really have no idea what I can do with that.
I think that was 2014 because I had just gotten this new job.
Yes, you had the new job.
Yeah, and I was dressed as a consultant.
You look great now, but very sharp, like you were going to sell me something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're just going to have lunch, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
But then you went on, you were talking about books and I was like, wow, okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What can you do? Open your own bookshop or open whatever? And then you came up with the podcast, was it straight away? Or was it first the blog?
It was I wrote some blog in there also at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me from that maybe, let's see, 2016.
All right, okay.
When I started this kind of cultural blog, which I still kind of have, but I wanted to do like different kind of I had people who do like tattoos, and then there was there was a circus artist, and there was theater people and stuff like that. So I wanted to do kind of something with the cultural things,
art stuff. Yeah.
But then I kind of noticed that I can't take it everything because it's so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, because books have always been, since I was a kid, kind of a place to go where I don't have any other place to go.
Okay.
So the books were there, and then I've been reading all the time. And then I thought maybe, okay, podcasts are now, like, again, they're coming because they used to be a thing in 2010 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but okay, I was working at the social media agency back then, and then we kind of followed, okay, podcasts are coming again.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought about, yeah, why not? So I did some experiments with the podcast in the cultural blog. I did interview with Antti Holma, which is my idol.
Oh, okay.
We were in a gym doing biceps.
I've seen a few pictures. Ducks, yes.
And then other person who is doing this anti-violence training.
Okay.
It was an interesting discussion. And then I thought, okay, maybe this would be nice because I had experimented with video format. We did some book reviews or video whatever in YouTube, but I kind of got tired of editing the videos. Mm. And as we talked about before, it's, if you look at the video, you have to think about what you look like.
Yes.
And how the facial expressions and stuff.
Mm.
So maybe, yeah, podcasts. And then 2018, I started this Takakansi podcast. And then I thought about, okay, maybe I can experiment with this because I like to talk about books or things that have come because of the books or something related to reading, how the reading feels like or what it causes on stuff like this. And then let's talk about books.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that for 2.5 years now, and there is like 80 episodes of it, and I still like it. And with the corona, I'm doing just remotely now,
of course, yeah.
But still, I don't know what happens, but yeah, but it's funny to hear that. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that.
Yes, I still remember when I saw probably your blog, and then when I saw Takakansi podcast, and I'm like, oh, that's it. So he found what he wanted to do
that's
with
great.
Books.
Yeah.
Because he told me about books. I don't read that. Yeah. I mean, I'm a poor reader, very slow reader. Mm. Oh, read something you like. Yeah, still.
Yeah,
I always tell people I have a attention span of maybe 4 or 5 years old.
Mm,
yeah, so I read like 5 sentences and I'm already in my head thinking about that word that brings me somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, try meditation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They tried at school. They couldn't let me do that. There's no way. And about audiobooks. I listen to podcasts. That's what I do. Yeah. And sometimes it's hard for me to stay focused.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
So, I have to be walking if I want to.
That's what
to
I do.
I can't listen.
When I had the dog, that's what I used to do, podcasts on. But now when I do the calls at home, you know, cooking, cleaning and all that, that's what I do as well.
Yeah.
But it's I can't listen to a book. I have to read it myself.
Yeah,
and I like what do you call it? Physical books.
Yes.
Like I know you use a Kindle as well a lot.
Yeah, and I read it from my phone sometimes with the Kindle app, but I like the physical book most because you can see where you're at the book.
Exactly.
If you look at the side
like
that, and you know, you can skip it.
I like to put it like, you know, like slide my finger in between the two pages and then come back to it or something like this. But because, they, you know, at school, I don't know how it is here in Finland, but like it, in France, you have to read loads of books like French literature, which I'm sure you're very familiar with. Like,
well, some
very,
of the, I know
it's
some
quite
of the
it's
things.
Quite big, and then you have to know because they're classics and
etc. Of course, Voltaire.
Voltaire. Yeah. But you're like, you're 13 or 14 years old. What do you want to get at Voltaire?
Yeah, that's
there's
like
no
crazy.
Way. 13, 14, you're thinking about going out with your friends to the beach or, you know, playing in the snow wherever you live. And you look at that girl or that boy you're interested in.
Yeah.
So Voltaire at that time, it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, it's abstract concepts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Who is he?
Yeah.
Know? And
then you learn like, this old guy.
you learn some saucy stuff about him and you joke about it, but you have no idea who he is.
Maybe some memes, you know.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's I don't know, there should be another way, but yeah, you have to read. But that was, sorry, but for me, it's always been boring.
I know.
The first time I actually got like hooked on a book was when we started to study philosophy. And at the time it was Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Yeah. And it's great literature. All these books, they were boring for me. But then we went on to the philosophy side of his. That was very interesting. For some reason that struck a chord. That's okay.
Yeah,
now
but you
we're
have
talking.
To dig around when you find
now
something.
We're talking. Yeah. I don't care about how you describe the trees for like 10 pages.
Yeah.
And the weather and the smell. Yeah, I know it's important, it's beautiful writing, etc. No, I want to hear about thoughts.
Yeah.
I want to be about what you think about people, like metaphysical stuff. That's what, again, it's personal. Yeah. Some people really love the 10 pages description.
Yeah.
Oh God, no way. Yeah. No, thank you. That's boring. You know, can I see a picture of it? You know, it's like this more.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always like, how can you read those books? You know, because like, I know you read the French ones. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, they try to make me. I don't think I've read any single book in my whole probably school, high school.
Yeah,
like the whole of it.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah,
I would read. I would read the they call it like the summary of the book. That's what I would read for the test.
Yeah, you can
you know?
Even ask the test.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was like the main themes, and then off you go. But it's just hard. And then even nowadays, what I read at non-fiction, I can't read that. It's really hard for me. Read it is great, but I just can't. I have to read a book maybe about history. That's interesting. Self-help books and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, okay. But then more like maybe marketing, not that much, but more something that I can actually relate to.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, like because Pavel.
Exactly. You see, exactly. Yeah. Pavel, leave kettlebell. That's it, you know. Push up.
Yeah.
You know? So what books, because I'm sure it's plenty that you read at once, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What books do you have now on the stove? How many books are you reading at the moment?
Well, now it's a bad time to answer this question. Because this corona stuff has been like, it's causing kind of
a dent.
The rate of, what do you call it? The rate of reading is low. I haven't been able to focus at books, but I just read a couple of interesting. There was this, one was this Kati Huovinmaa, the book was called like Radikaali Unelma.
Mm-hmm.
It's Radical Dream, and it's about leadership with some like, she says that radical means the going to the source of things in the original word.
Okay.
And then they talked about like how some people have been managed to do big changes in their, she used to work in Espoo's Museum of Arts, and she did Artsi, which kind of changed the whole thing from this boring museum to a street culture with graffiti and stuff. So she talked about that, and then there was things that some examples of how what causes people to succeed in big changes in their lives and in some organizations. So and then she talked about like that. In those situations, it's useful if the leader has very clear and maybe sometimes even like very strict idea of where he is or she is going.
Okay.
And then I thought about this kettlebell sport because at that point I was like very focused that I want to do the competition style lifting in Finland and not any fitness, not even that bullshit. I'm sorry to call it bullshit, but I mean that we have to learn the basics of the lifts properly. To make it a real sport so that people can
be
healthy and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a sport.
Yeah. It's same as in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah. You have to learn the basics.
Yeah, of course.
And then, so I was really kind of fanatic about that. But I think, and there were some downsides, of course, to that, because then you get in the fights with some people or whatever. But then I think in the later, it was very important to do it in the beginning like that, because then people would like, okay, let's do this. They understood what was going on. It was a very simple message, all that stuff.
Exactly.
So that makes sense. And then other book I was reading was this Finnish Salla Simukka.
Okay.
And it was called Sidotut. It's like tied up, and it's not like, it's about young people who are taking as prisoners because statistically they are going to commit crimes. And they have to, if they want to get out of the prison, they have to confess the crimes that they're going to do, even if they don't know what it is. So it's like a
Minority Report.
Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's interesting because how can you confess something that you haven't done?
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to do it and then they fail because they can't guess right. And it's how the dynamics play out in the prison environment. It's, there is like elements of this prisoner experiment in the Stanford University when they did that. That's crazy.
I remember. Yeah.
Original.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Oh, wow. It's, how old is this book? Is it a recent one?
It's very recent. Okay. They're both actually recent books.
Okay, okay.
And both are funny because they're related to my podcast, because both of these people approached me and if they said that I do want to read this, because maybe we could do an episode. But that's, I usually don't even do that that much, because I the podcast goes like, okay, I'm interested in some topic, then I'm going to reach out
address
to people.
Address yourself. And,
but it's I think it's nice to have it like that.
Is that something you would be maybe interested in the future, people approaching you with their own books or with their own works? And
but I always say that, okay, I will read it and then I will think about if I can get something out of this. And because I don't want to do that like market somebody's book.
Yeah, no,
that
of course.
Doesn't make any sense for
please
me.
Buy it.
But if there is an interesting idea, then we can, like you said, what is the thoughts behind this? So, for example, I would like to discuss about like, what does it mean to do, how, if you are very passionate about something, then it's interesting that some people get affected also about it. And then they, okay, let's go where these people is going. And also those thought crimes are interesting because now we're very polarized in environment. So in some ways, there are a lot of people online that are saying that thoughts like this cannot exist.
Okay.
You have to not to think about this. Okay. Or there is like these kind of discussions going on the internet now. And I think it's very interesting.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's...
What kind of thoughts do you remember?
Well, this is related to this. I think that now we are. It is very great that like people are talking really talking about equality in that sense that everybody should have some kind of human rights.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds crazy, but it's still so. We are so in the middle of this. Like if your like sexual orientation is not hetero, or if you are not, if you don't identify as a boy or girl, and whatever. So it's kind of these people now have really a voice.
Yes.
First time maybe ever. But then there's of course people that say that, okay, we have to go back to the 1950s because things that were like, they think that the world was more simpler and stuff like that. So this, those kind of elements, maybe fighting for airspace. And then there is this like, it causes people to, if you say something, if you say, you know, something related to these topics, then there might be that, okay, some people say that, okay, now you are part of those people
yes,
or part of those people.
Mean, yeah.
So you get like boxed,
boxed
in something.
Into,
And sometimes maybe the box is correct, sometimes maybe not. And then sometimes it makes it difficult to discuss. And then a lot of people are kind of afraid to talk about sexual identification or whatever because they think that they... They are afraid of doing something wrong in one sense. So, and then there's Me Too movement, which is sexual harassment thing. So it's a lot of things people are discussing again. How can we discuss about this? So I think that's related to this.
But is that
long answer?
No, that's great. That's great. As a social, we can call yourself like a. I mean, I can call you a social media specialist. Or,
yes, because I used to do that as a job, so I can guess I can do it.
You kind of know how everything works. Do you think it's part of that era?
Yeah, it's in some sense yes. The great thing about social media is that everybody can get the voice. So now you know you can do the podcast. I can do the podcast. Everybody can do the podcast.
because we're not in North Korea or something. Yeah.
So you can have this and you can say whatever you want. And then you can, if you want, you can say that, okay, I represent this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I represent now book readers and maybe podcast maker. I represent kettlebell lifter.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of can say something about those things. And then everybody who has, maybe they are like some minority that is, what would be a good example? Well, somebody that has some visual thing that people will notice.
Okay.
You color skin or mm-hmm. You don't have any lower body or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the street, people are going to judge you by that.
Okay.
But then in the social media, you can have the same voice in a similar level.
Mm.
But then there's this problem because these social media platforms want to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So Twitter, Facebook, they want to sell ads.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sell ads. You think about, okay, how will this post reach
mm-hmm.
most people?
Mm-hmm.
And then they amplify those posts that may mm-hmm. reach a lot of people. People react to those posts. And the bad thing is that statistically, what I read about the study is that the most attention posts will get when they cause rage,
mm-hmm.
outrage,
mm-hmm.
anger, hate, you know, things
mm-hmm.
like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say like all Finnish people are assholes, then I will get like more engagement in the post.
Oh, yeah.
Then the algorithms of the systems will kind of reward me.
Okay.
So I will get more likes, I get more mm-hmm. shares, I get more whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Provocative and it attracts people.
Any provocative attracts people.
Yeah.
And it's been all the time like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they have good or bad mm-hmm. examples from history.
Mm-hmm.
And but now it's even more. You can get like amplified in steroids or what do you call it?
Yeah. Instantly.
Yeah.
You always, these ideas always bring me back to a French Latin teacher that I had when I was like 13, 14 years old. But she was like super pro-French.
Oh, okay.
No Americans. Don't drink Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, I remember because I did an essay on Malcolm X at the time. I was 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Don't you know what he says? He says, kill the little white man. You need to do something. So I did it on Louis, I think it was Louis the Ninth. I think because it's St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stop. I had to, actually, I couldn't do the Malcolm X. She didn't accept my essay.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I want to know more about him. So that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing it for you. Uh-huh. And she said, no, you get a zero, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to make a big fuss out of it. Mm-hmm. So I went back to St. Louis because I knew she would like it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then bull, whatever. I didn't learn that
crazy
much.
And use that power, you know, to can you imagine? Voice, basically.
I mean, she was an older lady already, you know.
Yeah.
She was, I don't know, probably almost in her 60s. Yeah.
Mm.
We used to pray every morning. Uh-huh. I was in that kind of school. Yeah.
Yeah. So she probably
war. I learned a lot. But I'm not going to say but because then he erases everything she said.
Yeah.
The thing is, she always told me one thing. Mm. She said, "Remember, Johan." In French, is "le bien ne fait pas de bruit." So that means like good doesn't make any noise.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah.
If you want to make some noise, say something that's really bad, really trash, really even not true, lie.
Mm.
But she said, "Remember, good doesn't make any noise."
Yeah.
And that just like struck me hold on. Maybe she has a point in this one.
There is.
I mean, try to say something like this, like, the sun is shining and the birds are singing. How many likes are you going to get?
Mm.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah, not
film
much.
Someone who's getting beaten up by whoever, someone famous.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're going to make loads of money about it.
Yes.
But like, it's something that I've always had in my mind whenever you have news, whenever you have stuff this. People complain, oh, you see, you get likes for this and that. And I always come back to this. Good doesn't make any noise.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
Mm.
I mean, it was like, I think she had a point in this one, you know?
Yeah, I think I don't blame like social media for the polarization totally, but it of course it affects us.
Oh, it amplifies so much.
And, and also I think there is always people who will exploit
of course
these mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we are seeing.
Mm-hmm. 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 Wow. Any books that you would give to me, for example?
To you?
Yeah. Like, is there, like, you're like, okay, you have to read this, whatever it is, anywhere, from anything, or maybe two or three, if it makes it easier,
For you, I would give, it's a Russian, it's very short, it's called Daniel Harms is the author.
Okay.
And it's in Finnish, it's called like Sattumia. Okay. It's, I don't know what it's that is.
That's okay. I'll check.
Any language, but it means the only, there's, he has like very absurd short stories that are like one page or less.
Okay.
Even.
Okay.
So totally crazy, absurdist stories. It's very funny.
Okay.
So I think that...
Is it something like similar to, what's his name, Gogol?
Yeah, but it's shorter.
Oh, even shorter. Okay.
Yeah, it was a story that's one page. That's
okay.
It.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That would be because you mentioned that you like the story, the short stuff would maybe work for you.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
And then there was this very new, it's Finnish poet called Harri Hertel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not translated, but he is doing this very interesting. He's doing like promoting this open mic events with people can speak their own poems and texts.
Very nice.
And he made this book about being a father.
Okay.
This poem. So how very it feels nice. Like being a father now, and because he has small children, so that would maybe be interesting because
I
read it in one month ago or something like this.
Wow.
It would be interesting.
Okay, I'll look that up. Look that up. Any book you would give to I know you have kids, but to like let's say a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, in between, you know, in that age where you realize you're not really a kid anymore, or you still are, but you're moving on to teenage years, like something to...
Well, I was just thinking about the one that I mentioned earlier, the Sidotut, but maybe that could be, I don't know how people are like now, what they feel about things when they are 14, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That would be maybe one, or it could be maybe 16-year-old.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
There was
and something like from the Finnish, what do you call it, culture.
Finnish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't read that much. Nico.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that I know.
Like, do I have to read the Kalevala?
I haven't read it.
Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. Why is that? You never got around it, or you just not something interested, or?
It's something that I'm planning to do.
Okay.
It's in. I think we got it as a present, the new translation or new like newer Finnish language version of it, like 10 years ago in the shelf.
Okay.
It's waiting for there.
Okay.
And I would think about every year, I think, well, maybe I should read it.
Okay.
I never do.
Okay. Okay.
Because, well, I don't know why, actually. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's
like a something question. Like a classic, a you know, classic. Like, because I think that's the way to learn the language as well, is to read actually from people who live here, you know, like you would go to see a Finnish movie or something like this. So what would you like, a Finnish, maybe a classic, or, but not so classic that it's actually boring, because there's probably some out there, but like something that would tell maybe about the history, about the culture, because I'm more interested about the culture as well.
Well, yeah, of course there is this kind of Väinö Linna and Täällä Pohjan tähden alla, it's classic, but it's like very heavy, it's a long story, but it's about the Finnish Civil War, it was 100 years ago, and that's kind of a very important part of the history.
Okay.
And of course some people will say, okay, that's more in the side of the other side, or
yes,
the other
yes,
side.
Of course, yeah. Well, like, you know, I'm asking a Finnish person. I'm not going to expect a point of view from a Russian Russian dude. You know?
But still, it's. I think that's good. But if you think about really the history, because it's kind of interesting in that sense, and it's kind of forward-going story. Also, it's an interesting story to follow this family. What happens in there with the four wars and stuff like that. So that would be maybe the history part of Finland. And for the now, for the current Finnish culture, I would read maybe there's this Johannes Ekholm.
Okay.
There is a book called Rakkaus Niinku.
Okay.
That's part the book is like, there is like text messages or chats.
And
then there is the normal
very
stuff.
Contemporary stuff.
Yeah, like, kind of. But it's like how people are talking now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's like, I think that's very...
I'll check that out.
It would be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, and then there's this like, I think in the essence is still thinking about what it's like to be a person or human in this era or whatever. It's more like it's not so tied to this time, but the format is very like that.
So okay.
It would be maybe interesting. Okay. It's maybe also philosophical a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
is there one book that you have gifted to many people?
No, not really, because
Like so there's this one book you go back to, like I know some people like the Bible, they will give you the Bible, they will give the Bible to anyone around them.
Well, it depends on what kind of person, because I wouldn't give the same
book. Okay.
It's
so personal. You don't have, so that's the way you see it. Yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah. So like you don't have one reference where...
No.
I don't know. Okay, that's
the
book you need to read.
A lot are really... They are so intense that I have to think about who could I, who is like
that sort of
person that would be interesting. This, for example, there is this book that it's one of my favorites. It's called Ihmisyys or Humanity by Jonathan Glover. It's I think British guy who has been studying the great tragedies of the 19th century or 20th century. So there is all these massacres, all these like genocides. You know, Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Congo, I think, and then was this, all those famous
Rwanda
things.
As well.
And, yeah, Rwanda. And what is common themes in those? And what causes
that's
people
something
to...
something I would like, I think.
Yeah, what people could... causes people to kind of get agitated to killing people or doing very brutal things, or what causes them to not do it? Because if everybody else is doing it, how do you not do it?
Yeah.
So that's interesting book.
Yeah, that's something I would
like everybody to read it, but it's so heavy, it's so brutal that nobody or not everybody will be
able. It's very detailed as
well.
Yes,
there
like
is detailed things because he goes, there is.
Wow.
So it's also like, it's not nice.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think these kinds of stuff, you need to know that.
It happens, you know, the evil in
the world. And that's, I mean, that's why I'm interested in the whole human nature part of the podcast, because it's like, why do we do this?
Yes.
You know? Why is there Gandhi? And then why is there, people like this?
And there's this
kind of... It's quite broad, but
And it's very interesting for me also, because there is this brutality and there's like the violent ideas are there, I think, at least for me. I feel, I never like being in actual street fight, but I can imagine myself doing... Very violent things to people.
Okay.
If they cause some kind of hatred or you know, I can just like this. I can imagine if somebody hurt my kids, I could imagine myself being so angry that I would do something very horrible. But still, I don't do it.
No, of course.
But in a certain like.
But it's something that you can conceive and like.
Yeah, it's easy to understand if.
I can do that.
It's like the situation is certain. Of course, because we are humans, and that's like. It's crazy, but and it's scary, but still, I think it's very important to look at.
Yeah, you have to know.
Yeah,
there's many. Yeah, there's a podcast I listen to, and he goes through books, and it's mainly about war.
Mm.
And he goes, it's Jocko Willink, and it's about war, and then he reads like he always says his first person account of what happened. It's non-fiction. It's real.
Yeah.
When you read the book, it happened to the person. And then when you're fortunate enough, he has actually the person who wrote the book on the podcast as well.
Oh.
So he breaks down the book with that person. with that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes through like the My Lai massacre. It goes through what happened in the Second World War.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you just realize like, this is true. This is not a movie story.
Yeah, exactly.
It happened.
Yeah.
And that's the way it happened.
And some ordinary person was there.
Exactly.
And a month ago, they couldn't think that they could
do
something.
Exactly. Yeah. And he goes through stuff like that. And sometimes he says, okay, this one is going to be a bit heavy, you know, just so you know. And like, I'll be fine. And then he goes through it and you're like, really?
Yeah.
And he had that podcast about the Rwanda massacre as well. That was like Machete Season.
Yes.
That's the name of it.
Oh, no.
So you can see how, human beings could be like,
I
don't know, barbarians or whatever you want to call them. It's pretty...
That's very interesting. And also we can do this crazy, not crazy, but beautiful art.
Exactly.
And we can be very humane, very loving
to each other.
And then we can this brutal. So the both are living inside us.
I know. Like, and you think it's a constant battle between both, like the yin and the yang sign, where there's a bit of yin in a yang and a bit of yang
like
in a yin or something like that.
Yeah.
And then some of us are a bit more on one side and some.
And things happen.
I don't know if it's that simple, but
it's
there's a little. What do they call it? When it's like all leveled, is it homogenesis or something this? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Okay, I want to talk about the Arkikulta, because I really think it's a very, very good concept.
Okay.
How did you come with that idea?
It's not my idea, it's my wife's actually.
Wow.
She had this dream about having some kind of cafe in for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now, and also she's also, the thing that actually is common for us is, I think, something related to art. So we We'd have different hobbies all the time, and we have like our own friends, and we have a lot of things that are different for us. But these things about like how do we appreciate art, like different kind of arts, is common for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she has this art thing. She wanted to do something with art also all the time. But now, well, this is a combination of things because she had this idea in her work life. She has been doing like social work with children in, how do you say, lasten kodeissa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's that in English. And then, and she learned from that arki, which is like the daily life, is the source of mm-hmm. either strength or like it's going to take you down. If you have like a structure in your days or, mm-hmm. and you have like, some good things in the daily life, and not only that your daily life is kind of total grind or, you know, like awful, and then you expect a holiday and that will make everything better.
Mm.
But the like basic life should be something that is nourishing and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. makes you feel better. Mm-hmm. So that's what she kind of learned from that work. She always talked about that. So arki in the arki kulta is
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
and then kulta is like. It's, you can translate this, but mm-hmm. it's kulttuuri.
Ah, yeah, I see.
And taide, it's art.
Ah, okay, so it's like a combination of two words.
So it's like daily life with culture
and art.
That's the cafe's name.
Yeah.
And the concept is now that in the summertime, of course, it's like there's a terrace, and we sell those waffles with tasty
mm-hmm.
toppings.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic idea would be that it's a place for culture and art. That you can come during your daily life or mm-hmm. get some enrichment to your daily life when you can take some art from there or see some concert or
mm-hmm.
attend a poetry workshop mm-hmm. which has mm-hmm. been there
mm-hmm.
or come to see some author which mm-hmm. has been there like also. So, and to make all of the art experiences like so that there's no boundary for anybody.
Okay.
So we would like to, I say we because we also concepted together,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to take credit for the idea. but I also want that when I do the book, podcasts or what anything I do with this cultural stuff, that there should be no, what's that called, kynnys in your place. You have to cross a certain threshold.
I want the threshold to be very low,
so that everybody could feel like, okay, I can go to this art exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to know about art. I don't have to be an expert. I don't have to be some cultural person.
So like low key.
Yeah, very low.
Mm-hmm.
And then still have the good mm-hmm. Stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that, I think that's related to kettlebell training also, what Pavel says.
Okay.
That low tech, high concept.
Yeah,
so
true.
Kettlebell looks very rough and mm-hmm. it's very simple, but still it's, you can get really quality movements mm-hmm. if you do it. So
mm-hmm.
There's a similarity.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, but it should be like a low-key doorway to experience some culture, which you can get, you know, some good experiences to take with your kind of ordinary life and
mm-hmm.
be happy with, you know. And it's also based there's this Finnish mental health organization. They have published this hand of mental health. There's five pillars.
I think I've seen.
Yeah, it's yeah, like your social things. Mm-hmm. Like then there's food, there's rest, there's like movement,
mm-hmm.
and then there's something else I don't remember. But mm-hmm. five things. So
it sounds like when they talk about the biopsychosocial model.
Yes.
In the health and fitness industry. Yeah.
Similar idea.
That's what they talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes us human.
Yeah, so the events are meant to achieve those goals also, so mm-hmm. that you can get like, or we could offer things to each
mm-hmm.
five things.
Yeah, that's the concept is, again, it's amazing, because it's not just like a band playing or stuff like that. I like the poetry reading.
Yeah,
that's I need to come, I really, really need to come to one of those and then...
Yeah.
Like a 100-year-old place, you said?
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, was it hard to find? That kind of is that what you had in mind? Something like this, something very.
It was partly by accident.
Okay.
A lot of things happened by accident, but Nina was looking for the place, and she had a couple of friends, so they were looking for what could they do, but then they found this place, and then the other friends wouldn't able to come anymore to that, but still, and but they were, we had this opportunity that I. She had to take a study leave, and there was time to kind of do this, and also financially possible, so we could rent it. So, yeah. So now it's been going a bit for over than a year, and of course this Corona spring was bad, but still.
You had to close down the place.
Yeah, it was 3 months totally closed, but it was anyway in the winter time. It was like only open on weekends. Now it's every day because summertime people are coming to the terrace and eat the waffles. And there is maybe less event based now. It's more like the relaxation and the nice environment. But then there is coming some bands in.
That was my next question. Do you have a program? Do you have something?
No, we haven't been able yet to kind of come up with dates. But we are talking with a couple of bands at least that they are. I think some have even booked, but I don't remember the details now.
Okay. Yeah. And any more poetry, or is there as well any like paintings that actually artists hang over there? Or is there something like this?
Yeah, it's we have this setup that artists could do that.
Okay.
There was this one that had like she had created these things by I don't know how do you say it, but it was cloth in a way that there was some. Pictures there, so then it was like hanging on the ceilings, and yeah, so that's it could be used as a gallery also.
That's a very very good concept.
So we want to have it. It's a cultural place in Hyvinkää.
Did you know anything like this at all?
In Riihimäki there is this place called Vihreä Talo, and it's based a lot of for concerts. It's a bigger place. There is similar idea, I think, or kind of the mood is similar in that, but it's of course totally different.
So that's what you want to gather people around a good cultural slash art slash daily thing.
And also for me it's important to mix up things. My like dream would have like be have like some kind of punk rock bands doing acoustic sets, and then they could be poetry at the same time. It could be maybe some pictures, you know. So I would like love to mix art forms, and have like and so-called low and so-called high culture in the same events, because that would make it like more relaxed. Because what I don't like about art world and the literature and sort of stuff, there is always this like. Posing some at some you might encounter this or people think that there is posing but there is not so that's something I'd like to change.
So something a bit more available to everyone, like something that's not like for the elite or something like this. Something
people shouldn't feel
like casual.
I would like everybody to feel that they don't have to be elite. Because of course some people are elite and some are not. In a way, there is classes in Finland also. If even you're not allowed to talk about it,
so why is that? You think you're not allowed to talk about
it?
It's
not just the history for the we have the words, and then we might relate to the actual civil war thing because it was like a traumatic thing, and then people don't have to. They want to talk about it at all. They think that we forgot about it. So, but there is still classes, and then there is these like barriers, and there's been studies about it, that if you are like certain background, you don't like feel that you could go to opera.
I see.
There are actual facts.
It's and a then, shame.
Yeah. So that would be something that I'd love to change, because I come from like working class family, and there was just a couple of books there, but they took me to the library, so I could love the books still and get what I want. So. I kind of got the experience myself that I come from this like low culture,
not exposed to
that. But still I could get into the world. So that was me, for me, it was like very big part of who I am, I guess. So then it's very important. So I want to share that experience.
I mean, that's library is just like it's a wealth of knowledge and culture and. Because now it's free. Exactly, and it's free.
I mean, and you can go if you don't, you know, get dressed like this.
Yeah, it's okay.
Go.
You know, as long as you just keep quiet and do your own stuff, it's good to go.
Exactly.
And you can get anything from there, you know, from like video games to books, or you can even order them. I mean,
that's, you can rent kettlebells.
I think that's a very, very good, place to have all these around.
Yeah.
It's really cultural. It's not just books.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And then they have actually in one in Etelahaga, they have readings. Mm. They have, what do they call it? Swarmen. Kafia or something like this, like you can go and practice your Finnish.
Mm.
They have Harry Potter evenings as well, readings, you know, for kids.
Yeah.
And they have all the usual, you know, for Halloween and all that kind of stuff. And I think that needs to be kept alive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know my son from the Päiväkoti used to go to the library as well, because they would just check the books and stuff like that. And that's very, very
exposure
important.
Is important, I think.
Yeah.
So if we can offer something, exposure to something through the Arkikulta or to my podcast or whatever, to some, like, I think the perfect would be that you go there and then you are not, okay, maybe this is not for me, or maybe I don't care, but I just drink the coffee. And then you get exposed to something cool, and then you're, wow, this was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back and maybe it affects you some way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Good point.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's, yes. Any idea when you want to, where you want to take this further at all, that Arkikulta?
Well, just like for the couple of years now, it's just very early.
Mm-hmm.
It's for first year is past, and it was like a broken year because of the corona.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we don't know how it, in, you know, financially how it goes, but I would like it to.
Is that like, as in, I mean, is that something you want to do full time? That's where I want to go to.
I don't think so. I wouldn't want to do it full time, but I think ideally it would be a place that you could offer jobs also to people, and then it could sustain itself, and then offer people those good, you know, concepts of the culture, because there is so much that it's experimental. We don't know.
We are not professional
cafe people or anything like that, it's all learning.
I have no idea
still where it's going.
I bet. Maybe. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
yeah.
Good answer for me.
Yeah.
But it's just, is it bad to say it's just a pop up?
It's not a pop up.
Nah,
I would like to have it as an ongoing.
I mean,
thing.
A pop up, for a year or two, but I mean, sometimes it pop ups for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it could be, but I would like to see it more as a more like a.
Because again, I've said it, I don't know how many times, I know I need to go, but I like the concept.
Yeah, it's experimental.
Not just because you're here, but I remember when you showed it, I was like, no way, that's just amazing, you know? It's a bit like an advance of the library, you see what I mean?
In a way,
because you can get, well, you can't really rent books and stuff, but you have actually the author reading there, and then you can get a good waffle and a good coffee
with
people you don't know, and you can share that experience about this, you know?
Ideally,
and then the next day it's that rock band, maybe they're going to play Unplugged, you know, or maybe they're just a singer just going to sing like this a cappella, and then the next time is that lady with a cloth coming, you know, so it's just like, I like it. I mean, I'm not a very big art person, but again, it's the exposure, you know,
and I also like to combine it with physical, so it would be kettlebell lifting course in the yard with and then you get the waffles. So I would like to see the kind of physical culture and mental culture in the same.
No, it's great. It's an art as well, you know.
It's an art.
We call it martial art as well,
there's
a reason why, you know, cooking, making movies, music, drawing, painting, sculpture, you know, it's all this together.
Yeah, it's great humanity stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's
the best humanity can get.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, dealing with people and sharing things. Oh, cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say? We are just over an hour or so, and I don't know if any more things you want to talk about.
Well, this life is so much full of things, but I really enjoyed coming because in the morning I thought that, okay, this is the worst day that I could actually come because I was feeling so low and I was like, it's not an easy weekend and it's not about alcohol, but some mental stuff, very hard. And I was like, oh no. But then I thought, this is good because it's also good to not only be like, you know, I'm this, like, there is this lot of this performance, like, like acting, that you are successful and acting, you are very happy and acting, you are very passionate.
What do you mean he's crying? I didn't know he was crying. They never cry. These people, you know, the pictures, they never cry.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you know, they wake up every day, they go to the toilets, they do the same thing as you. They just don't show it. Well, do you want me to show you what the toilets look like? Not really. You know? Like, not every day anyway. You know? So, it makes you human.
That's why
I like this. Like I told you, you know, I want it to be like, it's a conversation, you know. So you don't need to get ready and study World War One again, just for the meeting. We're just going to talk about it, and it's great because again, it's you know, our life is busy, crazy, etc. But when was last time we talked like this? Never. We were at your home, you know, but that was a long time ago, and it was the whole family, like one on one, you know, when we had lunch, maybe, but still. But that's that's why I like that kind of medium, I would say, the podcast way, because we can just talk, rant, and then share
those
stuff.
Yeah, I actually forgot that we have this microphone there.
That's the whole point.
It's a kind of unique situation because, of course, we know it's there, and then we think about sometimes you think about, okay, how could I say this? But it still makes it kind of special, this understanding.
Exactly.
Okay, this is a special thing. We have kind of repaired. I liked coming because I felt bad, you know, and then it's good because it also reminds me at least that it's not that sometimes the feeling is just bad, you know, okay, I feel bad, but it doesn't mean that I can't still do things.
Yeah, the situation is bad.
And I kind of knew that, okay, I'm going to be happy after this because it's nice to meet you after so long time, and it's very unique that we even know each other. So it's really appreciate this moment.
It
was like very nice.
You know, when I had that podcast idea, I said, okay, he needs to come, especially after the after the book, and then, you know, okay, he's got many, and then the Archiculta, I said, okay, he needs to come. We need to talk about that because when are we going to have time to talk about it?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great occasion. I'm very happy that you made it here today. It's again, it's unique.
I
want to keep it that way. You know, it's very raw, and I don't mind. There's noises. I don't edit anything, like I said before. I want to keep it this way. Would you edit something in a conversation one-to-one? No.
Course you're gonna say stupid stuff.
Just the way it is. You know, that's what makes us human. That's what it is. You know, obviously, if you come out with racist stuff and all, then that wouldn't be great. You know, and or homophobic or whatever. The case may be. But it's just, I don't want, you know, to, okay, maybe we should cut this because you laughed here. No, you laugh if you want. You know, obviously, if you cry, you cry. That's part of it. And again, that's what you mentioned, you know. You know, on social media, you know, their hair, their smile, nice bright teeth, but no, they're actually sad as well.
There is also one thing still, that social media thing that, for example, I mentioned that this midsummer, sometimes I had these very heavy thoughts. I was like, oh, fuck, this is not nice midsummer for me in some way. But still, there was this time that we were in this, looking at this lake. We were visiting this lake with the family, and it looked very beautiful in that situation. It was a nice situation. Still, that's also a fact. So that's kind of a, and in the social media, it's hard to, you know, put in one photo some kind of very, long-winded, emotional things. I think the medium also leads to that. You pick up one thing from your day and put it there.
Exactly.
So that that was a nice day. That was fact. And still, I might have this thought that what a nice endeavor is also a fact. So it's kind of, I don't know. This doesn't lead to anything.
No, that's good.
But I just want to appreciate this. So thank you very much for having
me
here.
Thank you.
So very nice.
Where can people find you? I know you have like, 25 different Instagram accounts all together with the, I actually recently found out you have one for the kettlebell only.
Yes.
Like in what is it? You can find truth in...
Totuus löytyy raudasta.
Exactly.
Truth is in the iron.
In the iron.
it's based on this Finnish punk rock song that says totuus löytyy kaurapuurasta. So it's kind of a joke.
All right, okay.
But it's related to Rollins also, because he said that people may come and go, but 200 pounds is 200
pounds. It's 200,
pounds. You can find me at takakansi.fi.
Okay, that's
so
the
that's
website
the
for the
podcast.
Okay.
And then with my name, you can find me on any service, okay. Except for TikTok. I'm not there.
Not yet.
If you are looking, if you are doing an image search on Google with my name, uh-huh. I have to mention that those penises with made out of this pizzi are not mine.
Okay.
They are from an artist who has the same name.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't get credit for that.
Okay, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Just to break out the confusion.
Yeah.
That's it really. I mean, again, I'm very, very happy that you took the time to come here and then we had time to chat. Hopefully we can do it again.
Mm.
There's plenty more things, you know, we can talk about, maybe more about social media as well. Because you know the stuff, you know how to use it, you know, any tip how to use social media for all of us out there? Would you have like one tip?
Maybe think about what kind of, mark you want to leave to the world and work that, because those are marks.
Yeah. Perfect. We'll end with this. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Thank you, Marco, again.
Thank you.
Very, very good. Subscribe, like, comment, anything. It's all over the pod, whatever. And see you next time. Thank you, Marco, again.
Thank you.